Welcome everybody to today's reading of AA Big Book. Rick and I are the readers. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Fellowship is comprised of men and women who have experienced strength and hope, help each other and others to recover from alcoholism. Please join us with your big book. We're going to start on page 24, then jump to 62, and then 86, and that'll be it. It'll be a short stack for today, please. Okay, we're going to start on the top of page 24. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost their power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of that kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove.
Or perhaps he doesn't think at all how often of us began to drink in the astonishment way, and after a third or fourth pounder on the bar, said to ourselves, for God's sake, how did I ever get started again, only to have the thoughts supplanted by, well, except a sixth drink, or what's the use anyhow? When this sort of thinking is fully established in an individual with alcoholic tendencies, he's probably placed himself beyond human aid, and less locked up, may die, or go permanently insane. These stark and ugly facts may have been confirmed by legions of alcoholics throughout history, but for the grace of God, there would have been a thousand more convincing demonstrations. So many of us want to stop, but cannot.
There is a solution. Almost none of us like the self-searching, the leveling of our pride, the confession of our shortcomings, which the process requires for a successful consummation. But we saw that it really worked in others, and we have come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we have been living it. When, therefore, we were approached by those in whom the problem had been solved, there was nothing left for us but to pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we have not even dreamed. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we had deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards God, towards life, towards our fellow man, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we can never do by ourselves.
There's no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life is becoming impossible, and we have to pass through a region which there is no return through human aid. We have but two alternatives. One is to go to the bitter end, blotting out the situation, blocking out. I keep missing my spot. There's no return to human aid. Alternative was to go out there, bitter end, blotting out the consciousness. In an intolerable situation, the best as we could, and the other was to accept spiritual help. This we did.
Because we really wanted to.
My book is messed up.
All right, let's go to page 62, please. 62.
We really wanted to really make the effort.
Amen. 62. Selfishness, yeah, I'll start it off again. Selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity, we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us seemingly without provocation, but we invariably find that at some time in the past we have made decisions based on self, which later places us in a position to be hurt.
So we think our troubles today, especially, are basically our own making. The rise out of ourselves with alcohol is an extreme example of self-will when right. Even though he doesn't usually think so. Well, of everything, the alcoholic must be rid of the selfishness or he must or kills us. God makes that possible. As often seems, we know we have entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral, physiological convictions galore, but we could not give up them even if we would have liked to. God, like a third grader reading. Neither could I ever reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing, trying, or our own power. We had to have God's help.
This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new triumphant arch through which we passed for freedom.
We sincerely took a position all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer being all powerful. He provided what we needed to keep close to him and perform his work well. Established as such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves and our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt a new power flow in and we enjoyed peace of mind, we discovered we could face life successfully and became conscious of his presence. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, thereafter we were reborn. Go on.
Please.
We are now on step three. Many of us said to our maker, as we understand him, God, I offer myself to thee. Build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may do better to thy will. Make my difficulties and victory over them. May it bear witness to those who I help by thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure that we were ready to, we could ask the last, abandon ourselves utterly to him.
Amen. Page 76, please. When ready, we say something like this. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go off from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Page 86, please.
On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day before we begin. We ask God to direct our thinking, especially along. Asking him that he would divorce us from self-pity, just on our self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brain to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane with this thinking is clear of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face these decisions, we may not be able to determine which course to take. Here's what we ask God for inspiration of tune of thought or decision. We relax, we take it easy, we don't struggle. We are surprised how often the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. But it used to be the hunt of occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still and experienced that have just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we're going to be inspired all times. We have pain for the presumption of all sorts of obscured actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that the thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration we've come to rely upon.
We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be. That we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not, members of religious bodies we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also suggesting about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
As we go through the day, we pause and agitate our doubtful. Rest for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we're no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We're in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, and foolish decisions. We become more and more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to raise our lives to ourselves. It works, it really does.
Deanne, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful reading. Yeah, thank you. Let's go ahead and pray out. Let me say a prayer for us, a prayer of surrender. Father God, we just surrender ourselves to you in this program, Lord God. Take our lives and our wills just the way we put our lives into your hands, Lord God, that you may do as you will with our lives. We thank you for this opportunity to be sober and to be helpful. And Lord, just increase in us, Lord God, your presence, and go with us as we go and deal and do your bidding. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, give them heaven. Have a nice weekend, huh?
Did you get that speaker to work? That microphone?
Yeah, no, we bought a new, about $800 worth of microphone stuff, but it's, I got a microphone, but it's got a wire. The only one I can't seem to hook up is the one with the batteries, the portable handheld microphone. We have the one that goes on the lapel, the little small one. That one's working. And the wire one is working. And I'm trying to get a third one where they can move around and maybe sometimes talk to the audience, you know. You know, like, so we're working on it. Very good. Red Hot and Rolling, we're ready for tonight's barbecue. And get yourself somebody to bring you and come in and eat dinner with us and enjoy AA speaker.
It'd be nice if I could, but I can't.
Okay. And God's
will. Monday, take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, we'll see you. Have a great weekend. Bye, Rick.
Bye-bye.